The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, stick around. It won't be long, just about 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education, and all done without any manipulation, because we don't try to solicit money. We're not trying to sell you anything. We're not going to ask you to join anything. But we would like to ask you to listen as I try to verify and identify God's plan for your life. I think the show today that I want to bring to you might be the single most important show you'll ever hear in your life. I think it could be today, could be the one. I remember the day that my life changed back in August of 1967. I had dated a girl that I thought we were going to go out and have a good time with, and turned out we went to church, and I didn't really get much out of church, but after church I went to a home Bible study, and it was there that my life changed, because it was there I heard the good news that God loved me and Christ died for me and paid for my sin. And I received Christ as my Savior that night. That was the night that Rick Hughes, the guy talking to you, was born again. That's the night my life changed. Today I would like to explain to you what you can expect if you will make the decision to receive Christ as your Savior. I want to talk about that. I might not get to all of it today, but if you do ever receive Christ as your Savior, there are certain things you can expect that will happen. But make no mistake about it, receiving Jesus Christ is the single most important decision that you'll make in your entire life. And no, I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm not talking about turning over a new leaf. What I'm talking about is a term you very seldom hear used today. I'm talking about you being born again. Even the brightest religious minds often don't understand this life-changing experience of the new birth. What is that and what does it mean? In the Bible, we find John's account of Christ's impact in ministry when talking to Nicodemus, a Pharisee and a leader of the Jews. Nicodemus himself was a very brilliant Jewish scholar, but even he was unaware of this phenomena that the Lord Jesus Christ called being born again. Listen to you, to me, as I read this recorded conversation from John's epistle. Listen carefully. John 3, 1 through 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, or Rabboni, teacher, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles you do except God be with him. And you would think what Jesus would try to justify, and you're right, then you're exactly right. But that's not what the Lord said. Here's what Jesus said to him. Listen carefully. Jesus answered and said unto him, Truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Whoa, wait a minute. If you're not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. This concept of being born again was completely foreign to old Nicodemus, and unfortunately it's still, even today, foreign in many religious circles. The Pharisees, of course, emphasized keeping the law of Moses by the way to earn God's approval. And that was tantamount to earning your way to heaven by observing the laws, which referred to the 600-plus commandments and regulations in the books of the Torah, especially from Exodus to Deuteronomy. But after Jesus gave him an illustration about a physical birth and a spiritual birth, he was still confused. He still didn't quite understand what he was talking about. And unfortunately, that's what religion will do to you. It will confuse you. And so Nicodemus, in his confusion, after Jesus told him to be born again and explained it to him, Nicodemus said these words in John 3:9, How can that these things be? How is that even possible? And here's what Jesus said in John 3:10. Jesus answered and said unto him, Are you a master of Israel, and you don't know these things? Wow, what a condemnation. We have the same confusion today in many of our religious institutions. Being born physically is different from being born spiritually. But a spiritual birth, which we've got to understand today, a spiritual birth is needed because we are spiritually dead. That's why you have to be born again. You are dead spiritually. And if you want to go to heaven, if you want to have a relationship with God, you must be born again. My question is, have you been born again? You say, well, I'm not dead. What do you mean I need to be born again? I'm not spiritually dead, but listen to Ephesians 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, 2:4-7, said this. Ephesians 2:4-7. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead, D-E-A-D, dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ, for by grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Romans 5:12 says the same thing, whereas by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death is passed upon all men, for all men have sinned. What that means is that you are born spiritually dead. I was born spiritually dead. I was born physically alive, but I was born spiritually dead. And I needed to be born again if I was going to have a relationship with God. So these verses demonstrate that man is born physically alive, as I said, but spiritually dead. And that means we're incapable of having a relationship with God, regardless of how good or moral we are. Why do I say that? Why can I say being good and being moral will not let you have a relationship with God? Because of Isaiah 64:6. We are all as unclean things, and all our righteousnesses are as a filthy rags, and we do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. There's nothing you can do to impress God. How can imperfect righteousness impress perfect righteousness? If God is perfectly righteous and you're perfectly unrighteous, how can you impress him? Because you don't drink? Because you don't cuss? Because you don't smoke? Because you go to church? Because you tithe? Does that impress God? No. If you have not been born again, you will never see God. You will never have a relationship with God. And you will not go to heaven unless you are born again. You understand that? In Romans 3:10, the Bible says, as it is written, there are none that are righteous, no, not even one. So I want you to think about the nicest person you know, the most moral person you know. It's not righteous, not in God's eyes. It's impossible, because perfect righteousness can have nothing to do with unrighteousness. So that means we are incapable of attaining eternal life and fellowship with God by our own means, regardless of how morally good we are. In order to have fellowship with God, our dead human spirit, the one that happened because of Adam's original sin, imputed to us at birth, that dead human spirit must be made alive again. And that only happens by means of a new birth, or by being what Jesus told Nicodemus, born again. In John 4:24, the Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. How is it possible for me and for you to worship God if our human spirit is dead because of our relationship to Adam? Romans 5:12 says it that way. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You and I are born spiritually dead, and we must be born again if we want to have a relationship with God. According to Revelation 20:15, whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Being born again is what's referred to as being saved. Being saved. You've heard people talk about being saved. Saved from what? What does it talk about? Are you saved, brother? Saved from what? Saved from being condemned to the lake of fire is what they're talking about. because unless you are born again, you will force the justice of God to condemn you to eternal damnation at the great white throne of judgment. In Revelation 20:15, as I just read, whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's a person that has not been born again. Because if you have not been born again, your name was removed from the book of life when you died physically. So this means there are two deaths and two births, physical death and spiritual death, and physical birth and spiritual birth. So either you're going to be born twice or you're going to die twice. It's your decision. How do we escape eternal condemnation? How is it possible that we don't have to go to the lake of fire? How can we be delivered from the lake of fire? Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to the ones who are in Christ Jesus. In John 3:17, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. In John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What is that talking about? Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ is the act of being born again. Receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior is the act of being born again. Thus we are guaranteed a new birth by receiving Christ. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. This is what happened to me in August of 1967. I was born again. No one on the outside could tell. I mean, I was still the same big, ugly guy. But on the inside, I had a new heart. I was made alive in Christ Jesus. And all I did was say a simple prayer that I was believing that Jesus Christ died for me, and I was willing to put my faith in him and to receive the free gift of salvation that he gave me. I was born again. That's what it takes. Have you been born again? So what does it take to be born again? What does it take? In 1 John 5:11 and 12, here's the mechanics. And this is the record, the proof. God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in Christ Jesus. He that has the Son has eternal life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So if I receive Christ as my Savior, will I be born again? Yes. And what are the mechanics to receiving Christ? What do I have to do? Do I have to join up? Do I have to fess up? Do I have to get baptized? Do I have to give up drinking, smoking, cursing? I mean, what are the mechanics? Romans 10:13 tells you clearly what the mechanics are. You want to be born again? Here it is, Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Acts 2:21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you ever done that? Have you ever personally went to God the Father and said, I want to be saved. I want to be born again. I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. If you haven't done that, you are not saved. You are not going to escape the lake of fire until you make that decision to put your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. It has nothing to do with how good you are. It has nothing to do with how moral you are. It has nothing to do with how much money you give. It has nothing to do with how you help your neighbor. It has to do with what Jesus Christ did on the cross where he died in our place. He who knew no sin, the Bible says, was made sin for us, so that we could be made the righteousness of God through him. What a tragedy if you've lived your whole life thinking you were going to heaven because you're a good person and you have not been born again. What a tragedy. Have you been born again? I ask you again. Or have you mistakenly thought that God's going to give you eternal life because you're morally good? You attend church, you tithe, you help people in need. Is that enough? Matthew 7:21-23. Matthew recorded these words, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only the ones that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day," that's the great white throne of judgment, in Revelation chapter 20, "Lord, Lord," here it is, "have we not prophesied in your name?" This means that even preachers may not be born again. "And in your name have we not cast out devils? And in your name have we not done many wonderful works? And I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, those of you that work iniquity." It is very possible that a preacher may not be born again. It is very possible that a deacon may not be born again. It's very possible that a preacher's wife may not be born again. Or an evangelist's children might not be born again. Have you been born again? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? There's only one way to do it, and that's by faith. So what did that verse say? "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only the ones that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." That's an interesting verse. Only the ones who do the will of the Father can go to heaven. Well, what exactly is the will of the Father? Jesus told us in John 6:40, "This is the will of the one that sent me." Listen, are you listening? "This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." You don't have to be in church to be born again. Many folks that I know have experienced the new birth in places you could not imagine. Some in football stadiums, some at Christian crusades, some in high school gyms at Christian assemblies, some while at home reading their Bibles, some in prison cells. Wherever you are at this very moment, you could have it happen to you. You don't have to be in a big Christian crusade and go forward and raise your hand. You don't have to join up and fess up. You just have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And there's nothing you can do to save yourself. Only your faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross will allow you to be born again. That's the only way. No other way. Calling out to God in a simple act of faith can be done anywhere, anytime. I know people that did it in a deer stand. I know the people that did it around a campfire. I know people that did it in a boat. Just pray. Pray. You could do it right now. Right now, this very minute, you could pray and tell God that you believe Christ is his anointed Son, and that you believe he paid for your sins on the cross, and you would like to accept him as your Savior. Would you want me to help you do that? If you do, let's pray it together. Just bow your head wherever you are and pray this prayer with me. Just say it, do it with me. I'll say the words and you repeat it after me. Okay, in privacy, not out loud. Just in privacy. Say, "Heavenly Father," go ahead, say it. "Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus Christ is your anointed Son. And I believe he died on the cross for my sin. And I wish to accept him as my Savior." Did you just pray? Did you repeat those words after me? I promise you, you're not going to feel electricity run through your body. You're not going to hear harps. But it did happen. It did happen. How do I know it happened? How can I promise you that it happened? Well, 1 John 5:14-15. "This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Let's go back to what Jesus said. "This is the will of the one that sent me, that you believe in me whom he has sent. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." You just ask him to save you from the lake of fire. You just ask him to deliver you from death and eternal damnation. You just told him that you were willing to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we desired of him. You ask him to save you. You told him you wanted to be born again, not in those exact words, but that's what happened. Your spiritually dead human spirit is now alive because of the faith you put in the finished work of Christ on the cross. Those verses in 1 John 5:14-15 are your divine guarantee that God will indeed answer that prayer and you will be born again, saved from eternal damnation in the lake of fire. All because of one thing and one thing only. Because Jesus Christ, the anointed Son of God, died for you. Died for your sin and my sin. And by praying that prayer, we are accepting his free gift of salvation by faith. Not by works, by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, the Bible says. Not by works, lest any man should brag about it. Remember this verse, 1 Corinthians 15:22. As in Adam, all die. So as in Christ, shall all be made alive. As in Adam, all die. And so as in Christ, shall many be made alive. If you prayed with me today, I would love to know that. I would love to know it as soon as possible. I wish you would just pick up the phone and call me at 800-831-0718 and tell me, Rick, tell me your name when you call. I prayed with you this morning and I asked God to save me. I have been born again today. That would be the greatest news you could ever tell me. Or you could write to me at P.O. Box 100 in the city of Cropwell, Alabama. That's P.O. Box 100 in Cropwell, Alabama. The zip code in Cropwell is 35054. 35054. Or if you like to use a computer, you could email me. You just simply go to Rick@RickHughesMinistries.org. Rick@RickHughesMinistries.org. That's my email address. Let me know something as soon as you can. Why? Because I want to send you a free book I've written. A book that will help you understand what comes next. Because this day, the day that you were born again, is just the first day of your new life in Christ. There's a lot more to come. And I would like to give you some direction in regards to what God expects from you now that you have become a member of his royal family. There was so much more I had to learn the day that I accepted Christ. I had never even had a Bible. I never even read the Bible. Someone gave me a Bible and I began to read it in the book of John. And it was almost like God was speaking to me from the Bible. If you don't have a Bible, get one. And if you don't read your Bible, read in the beginning of the book of John and see if God will speak to you the same way he spoke to me. If you know a pastor, let him know you did that. Tell him that you prayed to be saved today. You asked God to save you and you were today born again. This is the first day of the rest of your life. You need to understand this. You have now moved to the other side. You're no longer on the side of the enemy. Now Satan is going to be a little upset at you because you made a decision to trust in Jesus Christ. Because you made a decision to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. He will do everything he can to distract you. He will do everything he can to make sure that you don't read that Bible. He will do everything he can to make sure that you don't get under the ministry of a good pastor. Make no mistake about it. He will not like this. But you are now free from the penalty of sin and the penalty of death. Not because you're good, not because you did anything wonderful, but because of the wonderful work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. where He alone paid for my sin and your sin. And because you and I have accepted that and received Him, we were born again. You have a new life in Christ. Can you lose it? No, you will never lose it. Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. My Father which gives unto me is greater than all, and no one can pluck them out of my Father's hand. He will never turn His back on you. You may turn your back on Him, but He will just love you from behind. You are now in God's royal family. You were born again today because you put your faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross. You were saved today. Saved from what? Saved from going to the lake of fire. You were rescued, delivered. No longer do you have to face that. Now you have eternal life with God the Father, and you have a wonderful future in front of you if you will learn God's Word and learn it and use it and let God use you while you're still in the devil's world, because you're behind enemy lines right now. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Has this made sense? Did you pray with me? Did you ask God to save you? Were you indeed born again today? If that's so, contact me immediately. Let me know as soon as possible so I can send you this book, Crash Course in Basic Christianity. You'll understand exactly what happened, and you'll understand exactly what's going to happen. There's a lot more I need to say about this, and hopefully in the next show we'll get into a little more in depth about what you can expect now that you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Congratulations on this day being the first day of the rest of your life. Thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries. The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Well, good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stick around. It'll only be a short time, about 30 minutes of some motivation, some inspiration, some education, and as we say every week, no manipulation, because we don't con you. We're not trying to solicit money. We're not trying to sell you something. We just want to give you some accurate information, hopefully that will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. If I'm able to do that, and you would like to orient and adjust to the plan, and you can do that. That's up to you. But I'm really grateful for those of you that are listening this morning. We're broadcasting in almost 115 radio stations across the United States and in the Philippines and Alaska. And it's just an awesome opportunity to talk to you. I never know who's listening. I wish I could tell. I wish I could tell how many people are listening in Houston or how many people are listening in San Antonio, or how many people listening in San Diego, or how many people are listening in Pittsburgh or Philadelphia? I don't know. All I know is I have a message to bring, and all I know is if God's in it, He'll pay for it. He provides, and He always has, and He always will, as long as we stay with a subject. So I'm not here to talk about politics. I'm here to talk about the Bible, the Word of God. And I hope it'll be a challenge to you to learn something today, because we're in a very emotional time. Time in this history when a lot of people are emotional about a lot of things that they're seeing going on, they don't like, they don't appreciate. It makes them be afraid, and what do you do about that? How do you handle the current events that are going on in this country that cause you to get emotional? I talk to some people that say, I can't even watch the news anymore, I just have to turn it off. And I don't blame you, because I don't always like what I see either. The spring of 2024 has really been a devastating time across this country. And especially for many people in middle America. The NOAA, N-O-A-A, weather reports that there has been 384 tornadoes in the month of April alone, including southern Indiana, southern Ohio, West Virginia, Nebraska, Iowa, Kansas, Oklahoma, Missouri. These are just a few of the places that tornadoes have destroyed homes, destroyed businesses, taken lives of people and animals, and one such tornado even tore through downtown Houston, Texas, right downtown. NOAA Radio estimates the financial loss, according to them, is over $7 billion in this spring alone in tornado damage. These weather-related vortexes, that we call them, are evident to the human eye, and I've watched some of them on YouTube, watched some of them on television on the Weather Channel. You can see them. People have videos of them. You can observe them, what's happening. But I want to tell you there's an unseen vortex swirling through this nation that you cannot see. It's unseen, and it's causing individual and national destruction like never before. This unseen vortex that I'm talking about is the cosmic vortex, and is fueled by satanic propaganda and influence. And if you're not careful, your emotions will destroy you in regards to this because you'll get emotional about it. The Christian life doesn't operate on emotions. It operates on content of the Word of God in your soul. When you let your emotions take over, you can do some pretty dumb things. You know that. So as we look at these things, I don't want you to be emotional about it, but I want you to understand that satanic propaganda and satanic influence is causing a cosmic vortex unseen across this nation. It's destroying individual freedom, as well as dismantling marriages, breaking up families, and is pulling us into an international brotherhood with godless nations of this world. That's what this cosmic vortex is doing. See, our Father has ordained certain laws for the survival and freedom of the human race during the course of human history as we know it. Anarchy exists when segments of nations no longer obey these laws and get away from these laws. They're called the divine institutions or divine establishment, and they provide the freedom to fulfill the divine plan that God has given so that any nation can function in freedom. It's called the divine plan as ordained in the divine decrees under many, many types of government. The four divine institutions that I want to tell you about this morning, you can see them being swept away by this invisible cosmic vortex I'm talking about. They are volition, or freedom, marriage, family, and nationalism. And these are the basis for the laws of the divine establishment that God ordained in the Bible. It's these institutions that I'm talking about that are under attack by the progressives and the humanists who wish to alter the course of American history. So your individual freedoms are being slowly removed every day. I mean, our own government is watching you at every intersection. If we're talking about freedom, they watch you walk across the street in the busy cities like New York or someplace like that. They have cameras watching everything you do when you drive down the highway. Your freedom to own and certain items is now being attacked in the name of public safety. Oh, the public would be safety if you didn't have that. And the time may be coming when you'll be required to disclose all your private information, or you might be labeled as a threat to society. So freedom is being slowly, slowly, slowly taken away. Another concept is being destroyed by this invisible vortex that swirls across this country is marriage. And it's a permanent relationship between one man and one woman. And it is ordained by God to remind mankind that He has, from the beginning, designed that, and it's called right man, right woman. Listen to 1 Corinthians 7, chapter 7, verses 2 through 4. As Paul wrote these words, "Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to the wife the affection due to her, and likewise the wife to the husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does." So marriage is a wonderful thing, and it's the basis for stability in society and even the formation of civilization. The loss of respect for this institution is noticed by those who now live together outside the bonds of marriage, and those who reject the idea of marriage only between a man and a woman. Another institution that's being slowly swept away is the family. The invisible vortex not only attacks freedom, not only does it attack marriage, but it attacks family. And God has provided certain divine laws, such as authority of parents to protect, to care, to nourish, to provide, to train, and discipline children to prepare them to orient to life. The highest expression of parental love is to inculcate through the forms of discipline. So our children, mine and yours, must be trained to respect the privacy, the property, and the rights of other people, and not to abuse freedom and to have respect for authority. And if you're a Christian parent, you must recognize that you have a responsibility to evangelize and provide pre-biblical training for your children. In Deuteronomy 6:6-7, the Bible says this, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." So the family is a divine institution ordained by God. And we see the family being destroyed today, many people being raised without a father, without a mother. I myself never met my father. I have no idea who he was. I have an idea, but I never met the person I think could have been him. But anyhow, a lot of people grow up in broken homes like this, and the family is critical, critical for the institution of authority to operate. And then lastly, we're going to talk about nationalism. Nationalism. If the entire human race were under one rule, then it would self-destruct. So internationalism is outlawed as being evil by the Word of God. To perpetuate the human race and bring history to its logical conclusion, God has designed the nation to protect the freedom and the rights of the number of people on this planet. And we call that nationalism. So only one language should be recognized in any nation. In our nation, we are Americans, and we speak English. However, we're beginning to recognize other languages as well and requiring other people to learn other languages. And that's not the way it ought to be, I don't believe personally. I think we need to understand that. The biblical proof that nationalism is authorized by God is found in Acts 17:26-28. You want to hear it? Here it is, nationalism. "And he, God, has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being." And also some of your own poets have said, "For we also are his offspring." So if you watch these things being destroyed by this invisible vortex I'm talking about, much like the vortex that called a tornado that goes through an area, wipes out every house, wipes out every building, wipes out every car, every vehicle, then this is what's happening invisibly. You don't see it, but it's happening in our nation. It's going on right now. These institutions I'm talking about, freedom, marriage, family, and nationalism, are being ripped apart by the cosmic vortex. And when you see that happening, now here's what you can do. You can either respond to that, or you can react to that. If you react to it, you're going to let your emotions get in control. You're going to get very mad, very angry, very bitter, and lash out at who you think is causing it. An unseen internal disaster can cause this sort of bitterness and fear. But there is a solution to that. There is a solution to fear, and there is a solution to worry, and that's for you and I to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ controls history. I'm going to say that again. The Lord Jesus Christ controls history. It is not the elected politician who will restore our freedom and return God's favor upon our land. It's you and your individual spiritual life. The scriptures in the Bible warn us about putting our trust in man. In Jeremiah 17:5, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord." So a born-again believer like you and I, minus any spiritual growth, that means they don't grow up spiritually, will always be subject to their emotions because that's all they have to go on. They will always react and not respond to adverse circumstances in their life. If you react, you get emotional, you get angry, you get bitter, you get frustrated, you get all these mental attitude sins. If you respond, you use the 10 problem-solving devices we call the flatline in your soul. You know how to operate under the faith rest drill. You know how to operate under impersonal love for every mankind. And you know how to be occupied with Christ during these times. So, if you react to circumstances, you will become susceptible to frustration and disillusionment because the reaction process is a result of not having confidence in God's Word inside the mentality of your soul. That's why it's critical for you to have a flatline in your soul's mentality. Critical. Because without the confidence found in God's divine provision, you will always seek to find comfort in either the details of life or confidence in some human solution, which is in effect no solution, regardless of what some politician might tell you or what some celebrity may promise you. If you continue to let your emotions control your thinking, I'm telling you it's inevitable you will do something dumb, irrational, and maybe even harmful to another individual. If you don't have some insight, if you don't have some discernment, if you're under the control of your emotions, you're going to become desperate and unable to see the truth of God's plan. Let's look at what happened to the disciples in the Bible. We'll talk about this for a minute. They followed our Lord Jesus Christ as he crossed the Sea of Galilee after preaching to a mob of thousands of people. This is a story that's well known, and it's a great historical moment in the Bible. I've talked about it many times. This is in Matthew 8, 18 through 27. He's been preaching on the banks of the shore near the house of Peter in Caesarea, and there are a lot of people there, maybe a entire thousand, maybe a giant mob. And it's getting to be late in the evening with no lights, no food, no loudspeaker. And so the Bible says in Matthew 8:18, Jesus saw the great multitudes about him and gave a commandment to depart to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. A certain scribe came and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And the Lord rebuked him because he knew he didn't mean it. And Jesus said, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And that guy, I'm sure, walked off shaking his head saying, "What does he mean by that?" And then another of his disciples said to him, "Lord, let me first go home and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "You follow me and you let the dead bury their dead." There's a difference between spiritual death and physical death. And now when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with waves. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and woke him up, crying, "Lord, save us. We're dying. We're perishing. Wake up. Wake up." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O ye of little faith?" And then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "Who can do this? Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him?" See, they didn't understand this yet, and I don't know if you understand it, but Jesus Christ is God. He is undiminished deity and true humanity in one body forever. And it was God that they were talking to. And this is a perfect example of how Jesus Christ controls history. He stopped that storm. He just stood up and said, "Stop." The disciples were in emotional revolt of their soul. They were reacting, not responding. They were not thinking because death appeared to be imminent. Something that they cherished was about to go away, their lives. And they were focusing on the storm, not the solution. And this is very critical for you, too. As you look at history, as you see what's going on in our country, there is definitely a storm. No doubt about that, an invisible cosmic vortex sweeping across this nation, destroying the divine institutions, and using satanic propaganda to be fueling it. So, these disciples were convinced the end was near. But they failed to remember God was in the boat with them. And the failure was not in using the faith rest drill. Problem solving device number 3. Do you know what that is? Do you understand the faith rest drill? And we've talked about it many times on this radio show. If you don't, please contact me. Let me send you the book called Christian Problem Solving. There we list all 10 problem-solving devices for you, and you can read over them and learn them and study them and apply them into your life. But in order for the faith rest drill to work, you got to claim a promise. You got to have something to calm you down. You got to quit looking at the storm and look at the Word of God as a promise. So once you look at a promise and calm your thinking down, your mind quits spinning around and you can focus. And you can focus on some sort of biblical promise or biblical rationale and come to a conclusion. If God's in this deal, He's not going to bail me. He's not going to bail on me. He's not going to throw me under the bus. He loves me. He knows about this. He's prepared me for this, and I am in His hands. That's a wonderful way to live. Faith rest drill. It's because they didn't use it, because they didn't apply this, that the Lord rebuked them. And He rebuked them. He called them a bunch of short-time trusters. You're all with me as long as we're on dry land, as long as the weather is good. But we get in a storm, and here you go freaking out, failing to realize that I am in the boat with you. Did they really think that God sent them out on the lake to kill everybody? As this invisible vortex I'm talking about rages across this nation, my question to you is, what do you focus on? What are you focusing on? Do you think God is ignoring this situation that I'm talking about? Or do you fear for your own safety, the safety of your family? Are you afraid if the wrong person gets elected that you're going to lose your freedom and you're going to lose everything? That we're going to go to war and be defeated, that our enemy is going to laugh at us? I mean, we think about these things. So is God ignoring our situation? Well, here's your first promise you can claim. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against you in judgment shall be condemned. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says God. So there's a divine promise for you, a divine provision. This is your personal guarantee. You are to be protected from the dangers that lie ahead. Do not let the circumstances cause you to panic, as the disciples in that boat panicked when Jesus was there with them. Don't panic. Relax. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. This is a divine provision for you. This is why I'm telling you that Jesus Christ controls history now, and even in the future He will control history. Listen to John 14:1-3. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? All right, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, and He did, and prepare a place for you, and He did, I will come again. Not yet, but He is coming. And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. What a great promise that Jesus Christ controls history of the future as well as controlling history right now. So as we head into the second half of the year 2024, don't you forget who's really in charge. Who is really in charge? Don't forget that. You may wish to know that you're responsible. You may wish to know what are your individual responsibilities in these days. If you'll let me, I'll give you a few of them. In 1 Timothy 2:1-2, Paul wrote these words, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now, you might not like that. I know right now there are certain politicians you don't like and you don't want to pray for them. What does it say? What does it say? Pray for kings and for all that are in authority. Well, what are we to pray? We certainly want to pray that they understand the gospel. We want to pray that they are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to pray that they will orient and adjust to the Word of God so that we can have a nation based on those four divine institutions, and this invisible vortex that's destroying them would be stopped. Pray for our leadership. Pray for our congressmen. Pray for our senators. Pray for our president and for his staff. Pray for them to wake up and to see what's going on, and to see what's happening in this nation. I'm sure they're praying for us to wake up, for us to say, oh, those people don't understand what they're talking about. They're putting their hope in a man. No, we're not. We're putting our hope in God's Word. So, again, Paul said, supplications, prayers, intercessions, be giving of thanks, be made for all men. You had to remember that. I remind you that prayer is ineffective now. You can pray all you want to, but it might not be answered if the Holy Spirit is quenched. What do I mean by that? If you have personal sin in your life, the Holy Spirit is quenched. It could be a mental attitude sin like anger, bitterness, fear, worry. It could be a sin of the tongue like criticism, gossip, slander, maligning. You haven't done that to any politician, have you? You haven't slandered or maligned any politician lately, have you? It could be a mental attitude sin, a sin of the tongue, even an overt sin, an outward sin, something you do overtly. But sin will quench the Holy Spirit. Sin will stop your prayer from being answered. That's why we have problem-solving device number one called rebound. When you rebound, you're doing what the Bible says, confessing your sin. We talk about it all the time and found in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, if is a third-class condition. Maybe you will, maybe you won't, but if we confess our sin, then He's faithful and He's just to forgive us and to purify us from all wrongdoing. So when you rebound, then you put the Holy Spirit back in control of your life. Without rebounding, without being filled with the Holy Spirit, your prayer will not be answered. It will go no higher than the ceiling. I don't care how great it sounds. But anger over some sort of political event, anger over things like this, is a waste of time for you. You cannot get angry about political events or get frustrated resulting from unfair circumstances because these are mental attitude sins and they themselves have to be confessed and conquered. So if you're angry right now about something going on politically, if you're mad about it, if you're talking about it and gossiping or slandering someone about it, that's a sin. You think Jesus Christ doesn't control history? You think God doesn't know what's going on? What's wrong with you? Where have you been? Sure, He knows what's going on. You have the opportunity to find a well-qualified pastor. You have the opportunity to get under the teaching of the Word of God so you can grow to spiritual maturity and glorify God to the maximum. Or you can let your emotions terrorize your soul. But my prayer is that you will grow in grace, that you will use the faith rest drill, and you will have a relaxed mental attitude in spite of whatever comes down the pipeline. Because Jesus Christ controls history. And listen to me carefully. The Supreme Court of Heaven is open 24 times 7, 24 days, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So nobody, I repeat, nobody is going to get away with anything. Jeremiah 23:24. Can anyone hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill the heavens and the earth, saith the Lord? In Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. I remind you that the invisible impact of the mature believer is a force that's much greater than anything the cosmic system possesses. Your spiritual life is a solution to what we're facing in the coming days, so stand firm and don't allow your emotions to overpower your mentality or your confidence in God's plans. Listen to 1 John 4:4. You are from God, little children, and you have conquered them. That's those who oppose God's plan. Because the one who's in you is greater than the one who's in the world. As a community of mature believers, I encourage you to remember these words. Philippians 1:27-28. Only conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. So whether I come and see you or whether I remain absent, I should hear that you are standing firm in one spirit, in one mind, and contending for the faith. Always not being intimidated in any way by your opponents, because this is a sign of their destruction, but of your salvation. Did you listen? Are you learning? Are you encouraged? Jesus Christ controls history. Don't panic. Stay out of that and use the faith rest drill. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice.